Hey, what's up?
Welcome back to Combating the Identity Crisis with me, Tabitha Whiteside. How you doing? I hope you're well. Let's get into it. So, first off, it is 2 o'clock in the morning. I could not sleep. I had to put this out. So, this topic, ladies, don't get mad at me if you feel convicted. I am not coming for you. I am just putting out what's on my heart. So, the other day, I shared a video talking about if you want to be used for the big, the grand, the extravagant in God's kingdom, you have to be willing to be used in the small, in the unseen. And that idea that has been on my mind and my heart for several days, since a couple days before putting that video out, and you know, until now. So I feel like we need to be reminded to be humble. We need to be reminded of how big the small, or what we would consider small, actually is. I think about the butterfly effect, and if you don't know about this, yes, I think if, to my recollection, you could get the idea from the movie. It's been a very long time since I've seen the butterfly effect with Ashton Kutcher, so I couldn't say 100%, but go ahead and check that movie out. From what I remember, it was good. I don't really remember it too much, though. But essentially, the butterfly effect, it's also called the chaos theory. And the premise is that a small cause can have a larger effect later on down the road. An example of that would be the course of a tornado or a tsunami, a hurricane, can be influenced by the flapping of a butterfly's wings several weeks earlier. So say that a butterfly is flying around the backyard today. If we have a tornado, a hurricane, or anything like that, butterfly's wings could impact the course of that tornado. Right? So, like, we don't, from the butterfly effect, what I get out of it is that we don't always know what these small things or how they're going to impact the world. We think that they're meaningless and they're nothings, but they're not. I mean, there's a reason for them, other than just you being tested or whatever. So, with these small things, you know, like putting up that one blog post that's been on your heart, putting out the image or the song that's been on your heart, putting out a video, or going up and talking to that person in Walmart, allowing yourself to be slowed down enough to have a conversation with somebody in Walmart, to not just be so caught up in our own way of doing things, our own hustle and bustle, but to be diligent to do God's work. Because at the end of the day, that's what matters most, for these small obediences that we do. As women, we can take encouragement and insight and instruction from the book of Esther and her story, She wasn't just used for such a time as this. She was used for such a time as this because she followed God in those small obediences that she was called to do, to have the trust and the admiration of the king for that such a time. Right. And then, you know, I think about the story of Paul. On Monday night, we have a Bible study that Dakota and I go to, and we were reading Acts 16, and specifically Acts 16, 25 through 34, just the story of Paul and Silas and how they're in the prison because they've been locked up and they're singing their praises and hymns, and all of a sudden there's this great earthquake and it unlocks the doors and unshackles all the prisoners, and the guard thinks he's going to lose his life because everyone's escaped. That's what he thinks. And he plans he's going to kill himself, and Paul shouts out to let him know that, like, we're still here. Don't kill yourself. And I was thinking about how, like, this one big grand event was used to convert this jailer, this prison guard, and then later his family. But how many miracles are in that? I mean, there's the earthquake. There's the fact that the prison guard became a follower of Christ and was saved, and his family was saved. There's the fact that all of these men, and maybe women and children, I'm not quite sure, they're released and they don't leave. Not all of them are followers of Christ, and yet the God's Spirit kept them all. I mean, that's something that strikes me as super cool. I mean, it's just really cool to me. But there's all these big things. For this one person, this big extravagant event for the one person. It's the one lost. That's what's important to God, the one. Right, and it could have so easily been missed if Paul was miffed at being in jail. It could have so easily been a fluke. It could have easily not have happened if Paul hadn't been praising God and singing and hymns and, like, putting his spirit in alignment with God's spirit. It could have easily been a sham. Right, so we need to not think that we are too good to be used from the small. Paul had done a whole heck of a lot at that point for God's kingdom. He had been used for many miraculous signs and wonders and had converted a whole lot of people to God's kingdom. He could have been too big in his own mind to be used in that situation, but he wasn't. He understood, I think, the necessary act of being obedient in the small. You know, God says, he who is responsible in the small can be trusted in the large. That's not the best paraphrasing, but I mean, there's a verse that says, like, if you can be trusted in the small events, then you'll be trustworthy in the large. And I think this is something we can all just agree with. If we have somebody coming along in our lives and they keep messing up on all the small details, we won't trust them in larger things. and larger events or projects that we're working on. And if that's the case for us as humans in our human-to-human relationship, why do we expect God to allow us to be used for the big, the grand, the extravagant? The big, grand, extravagant events, and yet we don't let him trust us in the small things. Who are we to think that we are too big for them? We've already proven our love for God, so I don't need to do that kind of thing. Or, on the other hand, why ask God to use you, but not be willing to be used in every single way that he's calling you to be used? Those small things are how he moves. Yes, he is a God of big and grand and wonderful. But if all we're looking for are those big events, those miraculous signs, then we've missed the point. Because I would wager to say that if all we're searching for are those big, miraculous signs and wonders, and for us to be the vessel that performs these, then we're not doing it for God's glory. We're doing it for our own glory under the guise of God. Right? What else is there? What other reason would we have to refuse to be used in small things and to demand to be used in big? And, sometimes, for my own self, I get a little frustrated because I'll put a timeline on how long it takes to get to the big vision, the big event. And I'll do the small things until that timeline, and then I get a little antsy, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm doing these things, and yet you haven't moved in the big way that I have seen a vision, or have heard, or whatever it is, You're not moving when I think you should move. And how awful is that? It's so human, and I acknowledge that fault of mine. But who am I to rush God? He is not late in his promises. He is right on time. If anyone should know that, if anyone should be aware of his good timing, it should be me, because of part of Dakota's and my story. We could have met at least once a year for 5 years before we met, but if we had met any of those times before the actual encounter that we had, we would not be where we are now. We probably would not have been friends. We wouldn't have dated. We wouldn't have gotten married. We wouldn't have given the other person the time of day because of the situations that we were in those times. We were always in the same place at the same time, interacted with these same people, or doing the same things, and we never met until the right time. We never spoke to each other after meeting until the right time. Right? The night Dakota and I actually had a conversation. Was at a show of his. He was in his band. And that night, like, when I got home, I remember just, like, weeping my heart out for God and saying, like, God, I need a guy friend who's not interested in anything other than friendship and who's okay with that, because this whole guy's, like, really liking me and me not being interested in them and them not getting it, no matter how clear and blunt I can be, I am being, it's too hard, because, you know, I don't want to lead them down the wrong path, but at the end of the day, I can't control how they are, how they think. And Dakota popped up. He apologized if he was weird, and I didn't think he was too weird, and neither of us really wanted the conversation to go longer than that because of different reasons, and yet here we are still talking. And he wanted the same thing. He just wanted a friend. He grew up with an older sister and his mom, and he appreciated the female perspective on things, on problems in his life. All he wanted was a friend. Now he has one for life. And, you know, that's just one instance of God's perfect timing. Like, I could... Sorry, that was the cat. She decided she had to come in and then scratch. So, anyways, I could also tell you about when a couple of years ago, July 15th, 2017, was the day my grandpa died. And that is the hardest day of my life. It is, to this day. Like, it is hard to think about. And I didn't really know how to handle it. Dakota and I were about an hour away from friends and family. And I had never experienced a pain like that before. I had experienced loss and loss of grandparents before, but and of friends and close people to me, but I never have experienced anything like losing a grandparent that I admired and loved and who was one of my best friends. And I didn't really know how to handle it, so not being able to really talk about it, because it would acknowledge that he was gone, and feeling like I had to be kind of the stable one in the family, for my mom and my grandma, I kind of suppressed it with alcohol. And long story short, I really realized a problem was happening. Because instead of finding comfort in God, in His Word, in expressing to Dakota, like, the struggle I was having, I was looking to, you know, the alcohol. And I remember praying to God and asking, like, I need help. I need you to give me some kind of help, because this is going to become a problem and I don't know how to deal with my grandpa not being here. I need your help. And just a couple weeks later, Dakota and I found out we were pregnant. The December 23rd, 2017. Wow. Guys, it is 2:30 in the morning. Please forgive me. But what perfect timing. What perfect timing was that? You can't drink when you're pregnant. I mean, you can, but I wanted to be a mom. And I mean, it saved my life, that little boy. It was bittersweet. If I think about it, it still is a little bit, because I would love for my grandpa to have met him. Sometimes I think about how much he would appreciate him, but I mean, it's nothing to be too sad about, because nothing I can change, and why dwell on the things that I can't change? But anyways, you know, it's these small things that are used for God's perfect timing, for God's perfect plan. You know, if that's what we're hungry for, is God to use us in His will and His plan. It's the small things. You know, it's the smiling. It's being nice to that cashier who you can definitely tell has had a rough day. And has had a long day. And maybe it's at the end of their shift and they're taking forever. And instead of being like combative towards them, be understanding. See if they're, try and have a conversation with them. You know, kind of check and see what their level is, because there are times people just don't want to talk. But be kind. Always be kind and be gentle to people. Be listening for that still small voice that's just drifting through the wind. You want to be used for the big. The big is a culmination of the small. It's all of these small things put together. Don't hunger after being Billy Graham. Billy Graham was Billy Graham. Hunger after being yourself in God's kingdom. Who's God called you to be? What is God calling you to do? Are you willing to be used by God in every situation, in every moment that you have on this earth? Because you're not promised another second. And life is here and then it's gone. Ecclesiastes is a book of wisdom, right? And It's a book that we think of as like, oh, that's that one depressing book that you don't read. But it's a book of wisdom. It's a book to show you, like, Solomon is saying, like, know when the right time is. There's a time for every single thing. Know when to be quiet. Sometimes that's what God is asking you to do, is just be quiet. Don't say a word to them. Don't give them advice. Don't speed up in front of them. Don't speed up in front of me. God says a lot, I think. I keep thinking about back in 2013, I volunteered at Orlando Fine Arts, which is a sort of talent show within the Assemblies of God for middle school and high school and some college-age kids. And the leader of the volunteer team was talking to us the first day, like right before it was all going. And it's one of those events that, like, it's as a worker, it can be like boom, boom, boom. Like, you gotta keep it going. Keep it moving, okay? So that everything stays on time. Because it can quickly domino effect to being long, to missing. And he said, yes, while you might need to, there's a volunteer station called a runner, which is running from one room to give the results to the people, so that it was, anyways. Said, while you might feel like the need to run, be willing to walk through all the crowds and to listen to God's words and what His Spirit is telling you, because that work is more important than anything in this event. If God asks you to slow down and take a minute to talk to that one person, that's what's needed, not these results, right? That small thing, that's what's needed. So for you, as I end this, know, like, that is what's needed, that small thing, that small bit of obedience, that's what's needed, not the big. The big is great, and it's cool, and it's wonderful, and it's awe-inspiring, and we all love it, but that is not what is going to get you into heaven. That's not the point. Those big things are not the point. Just simply following God in all of His instructions, in all of His ways, that is what is important. So with that, I wanted to let you know that I am now accepting applications for my Run Wild, Run Free. It is a program that allows you and me to work together and find out more about you. I'm also accepting coffee dates on my Coffee and Conversation. This is just a 4-week program in which that you and I chat over some coffee and dig in to the desires that God has for you. Dig into the work He has designed for you. And to pull you out of all of the excuses that you give yourself to not do them. Because it's too important to let yourself get in the way. Right? So you can find all these on my website at www.tabithawhiteside.com. You can also book your appointments with me through Instagram and Facebook. You can find me at Instagram or on Instagram at Tabitha_Whiteside. And then you can search Tabitha Whiteside on Facebook. So that's all my little announcements. May God bless you. May He keep you. May He grant you grace, peace, and mercy.